talking to my girl on the phone, wandering these streets heading home. I notice him following close behind.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. Yeah, hey. Gotta shake this tail, gotta get that away. Is Simon Peebler that you hear there from his CD, Missing Anchor. And he is performing tonight, Wednesday night, at the Hideout. It's a 21 and over show. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's only $8 to get in. And you can check him out at simonpeebler.com. But that's not, we say Simon, but it's not spelled in the traditional way that Simon is spelled. Correct, Simon?
Yeah, there's an E in the middle of that thing.
so, in the middle of that thing, your name.
Yeah, so Simon is really the best way to think of it.
S-I-M-E-O-N. Right. S-I-M-E-O-N, Peebler.com. But we have a link on our Facebook page, makes it easy for everybody. So it's facebook.com/NickDShow. We got links and all that cool stuff. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm really
glad
to be here.
How you doing, man? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. We were just talking about the fact that we have a friend in common.
Yes.
Steve Procopi, who I've worked with in the Chicago Film Critic Association for many years. He and I are two of the co-hosts at this horror convention that we do here called the Flashback Horror Convention. And Steve and I do the main duties as hosts for that.
Yeah. You know, I spent the weekend at a film festival in Austin, Texas with him.
Yeah.
And it required that you stayed up 24 hours straight and watched movie after movie the whole time.
Now, you told me that off the air, you told me that one of the movies that you saw was The Revenant.
Yeah. You know, I'm still just processing that film. It's so beautiful. And even though it has a long running time, you're not even aware of that.
No, it runs 2 hours and like 36 minutes, and it doesn't feel like that at all.
Yeah,
it's an astounding piece of work.
I'm hard pressed to criticize anything I've seen Leo DiCaprio do.
I'm with you, man.
But this one may be his finest work.
You know what's amazing about it is that I think this is the year. I think he's a shoe-in. I think he's going to win it. You know, and I'm with you 100%. I think Leonardo DiCaprio, one of the best, if not the best actor working today. I just think he's a phenomenal actor. The best actor of his generation.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's unbelievable about this movie, The Revenant, is what we're talking about. He doesn't have a lot of dialogue in it. It's not really, I mean, there's not a lot of dialogue in this movie. I mean, there is dialogue here and there. But like when you think best actor, you think, oh, he's going to have soliloquies and he's going to have... This is an incredibly beautiful performance that's insanely physical in every sense of the word. God, yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's you know, I really don't want to like sort of talk much about what he does and doesn't do because I think that would be, you know, kind of...
Well, we're doing Star Wars spoilers later. We don't want to do Revenant spoilers because that's a much more important movie in my opinion.
Yeah, it's crazy in Revenant when Jar Jar Binks jumps out of the bushes.
It's nuts and attacks him. Yeah, he gets attacked by Jar Jar Binks. Well, welcome to the show, man. When did you pick up a guitar? Now, I understand that you're a late bloomer. I read a little bit about you, man, and... you're a late bloomer to this music stuff.
Yeah, I was 38 when I picked up a guitar and started taking classes at Old Town School of Folk Music.
Well, you went to the right place.
And you know, I had some experience doing some musical stuff. I mean, when I was young, I played piano a little bit, but I had never really done any kind of songwriting, and I was really interested in doing songwriting. And kind of the bridge to that seemed to be learning how to play guitar and taking songwriting and guitar classes at Old Town School. It was something that I had thought about many times.
Yeah.
And I just finally pulled the trigger.
It's an interesting route that you took, though, because you were a video game developer and a software guy. You were like, oh, I'm going to get an acoustic guitar and do some protest songs.
Yeah, but, you know, so surprisingly, in my experience in the technology world, you know, there's plenty of people that I've come across who are like also, you know, have an artistic side. And so they're they're both right and left brained in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come across plenty of musicians who are also, you know, software guys and gals. So it's not, it may sound alien and unusual if you're not in those arenas, but it's fairly common.
No, I think it's, I mean, you know, what the software guys do and the video game developers do, I think takes an enormous amount of creativity and you know, artistic vision. I really do.
Yeah.
It just seems the type of music that you play seems unusual for, like, if I were to think, and this is just, you know, cliched thinking on my part, but I would think, oh, a software developer, video game designer is going to go into electronica music.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
that's like, that seems like the easiest step to take, but you're in like old school, you know, folks, songwriter, singer, songwriter, guitar music, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, I have, yeah, I was born in Southern California, and probably a large cloud of weed.
Okay, hold on. That, yeah. We call that a tease because we have to break. When you say large cloud of weed,
yes.
That's a good time to take a break and make sure that people stay in and listen.
Okay.
Simon Peebler just said large cloud of weed, everybody. That means you have to stay tuned. Simon Peebler is with me. We're going to hear some music live in studio. He's playing The Hideout later tonight. And I got to talk about this bash that he's playing for Alex Chilton's birthday bash coming up at the end of the month. One of my favorite artists ever, Alex Chilton. So we'll get into that.
It fell on my shoulders, landed in my hands. I'll do the very best I know how. This is how it unfolds. I'll find a way to get by.
All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And welcome back to the show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us, and you will find a link to our guest, Simeon. Simeon. See, I knew I was going to do that. Simon Peebler. Welcome back, sir.
Cool.
So we were talking before the break. You were saying that you were born in Southern California. We were talking about sort of like how you got into music and what happened. You were born in Southern California under a large cloud of weed.
Yeah. So to further clarify that, yeah, my parents were definitely harvesting the crops.
And wow! All right, what's the statute of limitations here?
Well, you know, it was many eons ago.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of environment I grew up in, and my mother was, you know, she was free spirit, she was also an activist, and I think that's where, you know, I've sort of gotten a lot of my energy and enthusiasm for some of the music that I write, and some of the issues that I tackle in my songwriting. So that sort of legacy of protest music.
Was that what you grew up with? Were your parents into that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, it was like, you know, it was definitely, you know, Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and... you know, very kind of socially conscious music was played in the house, but also just a general love for all types of great music, and good songwriters. So, at a very early age, I listened to a lot of, you know, Paul Simon and, you know, Beatles, and even, you know, things as diverse as, you know, the Stones or Rush.
Mm-hmm. So some of the classic rock stuff.
Yeah, classic rock stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I was born in the early 70s,
and California.
Yep.
So like, was it a lot of Linda Ronstadt, Eagles, Warren Zevon, stuff like that? Did you do the California thing? Did you get into that California?
Yeah.
Asylum Records stuff.
Yeah, you know, to some extent, although I was fairly. I was fairly young when we ended up migrating to the great promised land of Indiana, and so I sort of grew, you know, spent my childhood mostly in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And ended up going, you know, going to school in Southern Indiana. And then in my early 20s, I came up to Chicago, and that's where I've been ever since.
Wow.
So, I, you know, it's been great to have those diverse experiences, but I love Chicago. I love living here, and it's been a great home for me.
Yeah. And it's, and I mean, it's a great music town too.
Yeah. The community here has been wonderful for me, and the Old Town School folk music, has connected me to so many great people. There's, you know, the Chicago Acoustic Underground folks have been wonderful too. And just a lot of great indie music, you know, action and activity.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great wealth of tremendous musicians here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So on that piece or that song that we just played, there's a full band there. Yeah. But now the gig you're playing tonight at the Hideout, is it just you and your guitar?
Yeah. So I'm it'll just be me and the guitar opening the show at 8 o'clock tonight, and. I'll be playing a full set, and then I'm opening for some great friends, Dan Moore, and he's playing with a small. I think it's a four piece,
mm-hmm.
and then after that, a kind of a bluegrass rock outfit, Blasted Heath, is playing, and they're, I think, maybe five piece. So it's gonna be a great, diverse, you know, full set of music.
Yeah,
and. You know, it'll go from 8 till probably about 11 tonight.
All right, cool. And that's at the Hideout, which is a great place if you haven't been to the Hideout. It's only $8 to get in. Again, we have a link on our Facebook page for all that information. So this, when you decided that you wanted to write songs, what were some of the first things that you wrote about?
You know, the very first thing I wrote about was things from childhood. So... I wrote a song about baseball, which I don't actually play anymore. I mean, what I quickly realized when I first starting to write was that I would have to write a lot of really terrible songs. And then occasionally one would be pretty good.
Uh-huh.
or good enough. So I just got in the habit of almost writing a new song every day. I haven't really been able to keep up with that pace in the last 5 years that I've been doing this, but I carry a notebook with me, and I'm always constantly, you know, writing down different things. But I've tried to, you know, even though I mentioned, you know, I write about social issues and I write protest music, that sort of fits in that category at least. You know, I try to take advantage of this, you know, the amazing universe we live in, and write about everything I see around me, things I've experienced in my life or I've seen other people experience. I've tried to, you know, kind of be a little bit like Bob Ross, you know, just kind of paint the trees and the mountains and see what happens.
Oh man, I was gonna say you don't have the hair, man.
No, well, you know. yeah. It's,
well, so just in your songwriting process, words first, melody. Do you just strum on the guitar? How does that happen for you? Does it just happen organically?
You know, for me, I find because of this notebook thing I mentioned, I'll tend to scratch down words first.
Mm-hmm.
And then later sort of pair it up. If it seems like it's something that's going to evolve into a full song, then I'll pick up an instrument and sort of see what happens.
Okay. Well, why don't we hear a song?
Okay.
All right. You just grab your guitar, and I'll tell everybody that you can see Simon Peebler performing at the Hideout, and you can get ready.
Okay.
And he's going to grab his guitar right now, and we'll get it all set up. And he's performing at the Hideout tonight. Wednesday, December 16th, and it's a 21 and over show. It begins at 8 o'clock. It's $8 to get in, and we'll talk more about that. He'll be performing at the 11th annual Alex Chilton Birthday Bash at the Empty Bottle on December 28th, and we'll talk about that as well. Alex Chilton, one of my favorite musical artists of all time, and I can't believe it's the 11th annual Alex Chilton birthday bash, considering that he died in 2005. I'm just kind of, or no, 2010. He died 5 years ago. Yep. So he died 5 years ago. And so it's very interesting. We'll talk about that. All right, what song are we going to hear, Simon?
You know, I think this one I'll go for the a newer tune that is a little bit heavier.
Okay.
First. This is called Bystander's Dead.
Bystander's Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's Simon Peebler.
Will you sell me a gun? I need to shoot someone. Is the safety off? Background check done. Stand by. Bystander's dead. Stand by. Bystander's dead. Take me to school. A movie theater will do. Workplace parking lot. Gangland hotspot. Stand by. Bystander's dead. Stand by. Bystander's dead. I'm the president. I'm a congressman. Your representative. I'm a lobbyist. Stand by. Bystander's dead. Stand by. Bystander's dead.
Nice stuff, man. Good.
Cool.
So that was clearly a new one.
Yeah.
So when you read the news, you see what's going on in the world. Does that like get you immediately to your notebook and you start writing? I mean, that clearly is a very timely song.
Yeah. You know, actually, I first had this sketch of this song, which is very simple. You know, it doesn't have really, you know, there's not a novel of lyrics there.
Mm.
But I first sort of wrote a few of these words down back when that terrible, you know, massacre happened with the kids 3 years ago. We just had the anniversary of that.
Sandy Hook.
Yeah. And so, but I wasn't sort of, I don't know, it was like... It's something that bothers all of us. It doesn't matter what your position is on guns or the Second Amendment. You know, these are terrible things that are happening, and it's a complex problem. But I think, you know, what I wanted to suggest in this song was that, you know, that we all have kind of a responsibility at every level.
Yeah,
we're all kind of responsible for this craziness that's happening.
Right. And so, things can happen if you just stand by, if you're just a
bystander. Yeah,
well, Simon, as you know, someone who has listened to a lot of classic sort of protest work or songs, singer-songwriter stuff, there's a power in simplicity sometimes. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a rambling sort of Bob Dylan-esque song. Something like that, as simple as that, can be. There's power in that.
So. Yeah, that's you know, I to talk a little bit about process, and this may or may not be interesting, but I start out with a lot more words than end up in the actual.
Oh, thing. Okay. So you actually do cutting and
oh yeah, I mean it's chiseling down. It's like working with granite, man. You gotta cut out everything that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's something that you know, again, it's like this. You know, the more you do it, I think the better you are at it.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, that's seems to have worked. And that's a part of the fun of pursuing this. I've been doing it for 5 years, but I feel like I'm just now beginning, really.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Simon, hang on, okay?
Okay.
We're going to hear one more song. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Simon Peebler is playing tonight at the Hideout, and it starts at 8 o'clock, and tickets are $8. And we're also talking about the 11th annual Alex Chilton birthday bash coming up at the Empty Bottle at the end of the month.
A tall young man went down to New Orleans. He saw the slaves live in suffering. He walked back north.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. That is Simon Peebler, who will be playing tonight at the Hideout later on. And it's an 8 o'clock show, $8 to get in, 21 and over. And he's also going to be performing at the 11th annual Alex Chilton birthday bash at Empty Bottle on December 28th. And if you're not familiar with Alex Chilton, man, you should be. How did you get involved in this Alex Chilton thing?
Yeah, you know, I had one of the guys who sort of organizes it and runs it, Larry O'Dean. He's run a music series for years in the city called Folk You.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that show with him a couple times. And, you know, I was aware that he was doing this Alex Chilton thing, and I was a big Alex Chilton fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a huge amount of music there that's just incredibly interesting. And, you know, it's so this is the first year that I'll be actually participating as a performer.
What are you playing?
And I'll be playing three songs. It's something that, let's see, I'll be playing a song called Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be playing a song called, All We Ever Got From Them Was Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a third one. Third one, I think, is a little bit up in the air right now.
Okay.
But there's at the Empty Bottle show on the 28th of December, there's probably 10 different performers. Some of them are bands, some are solo.
Yeah.
But they're all great musicians, and I know several of them. And it's something that, if you come out for it, you'll have a lot of fun.
It's, you know, I mean, Alex Chilton, for those of you who don't know, the Box Tops, I guess The Letter is probably the song that most people would most readily recognize.
Yeah.
But his work with Big Star and then solo stuff, one of the greatest singer-songwriters of all time, one of the greatest and most talented producers and just craftsmen in the world of pop music. Very few people. I mean, look, you know, The Replacements wrote a phenomenal song about Alex Chilton called Alex Chilton, oddly enough.
Yeah, there's some people who are purely creative in what they do, and they don't apologize for it, and they march to their own beat, and they're not afraid to just try what they want to try. And Alex Chilton did that.
And he was a kid when he started.
Oh, yeah.
He was a kid. He was in his teens, you know? And I have a quick memory to share with you. A few years back, in the summer of 1999, a bunch of us went out to New York and spent 3 weeks in August in New York. We brought a play out there. I did a stage adaptation of High Fidelity called The Vinyl Shop, and we did that in New York at the New York Fringe Festival. So we brought it out there and we stayed for 3 weeks. And we did a bunch of crazy stuff in New York for 3 weeks and whatever. And I was, you know, this was when I was a drinking man and I was barely sober the entire time that I was there. But one of the things that we did was they would have these free lunchtime concerts every Tuesday afternoon between the two towers of the World Trade Center.
Hmm.
And we heard that they were going to be doing this, and so we had a Tuesday off. There was no performance at the Vinyl Shop, and like the cast and me, and you know, because I directed it, and a whole bunch of other people, my wife at the time. And we were all like, well, let's all do something together at this time, you know? So we looked through we heard that there was going to be a concert. We're looking through the Village Voice, and we see it's Alex Chilton. And I was like, oh, my God. And the adaptation that we did of High Fidelity was very loose. And so within it, because I co-wrote it, I co-adapted it, I threw in a lot of references to music that I like, not necessarily what Nick Hornby liked in the book, but a lot of stuff that, and I happened to worship Alex Chilton. So I put in like 800 references to Alex Chilton in this play. And then we look and it was like, what's Kismet? We have to go. And we tried to get up to the stage. We tried to get up to the stage to give him like a flyer and a ticket to come and see the show, because we still had like 2 weeks left in our run, and we couldn't get there. We couldn't get up front. You know, it was almost like, but it was amazing. And I always, you know, and now there's a real melancholy attached to that memory. Because it was right between the two towers of the World Trade Center. And here we are, and I'll never forget it. It was a beautiful, cloudless, sunny day. And there's Alex Chilton. Nobody had planned it. And I'm with all my friends who we've done this play that we really love. And one of the inspirations for the play is playing in front of us between the two towers of the World Trade Center. It's one of my favorite memories of that city.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, so that's really cool that you're going to be playing that. Listen, hang on for a second, okay? We're going to take a break. We got the news, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little more, and we got another song, okay?
Sweet. Sounds great.
All right,
great.
Cool. Hang on a second. That's Simon Peebler, who's going to be performing tonight at the Hideout. All information is on our Facebook page. News coming up next on WGN. Everybody, it's Nick DiCiglio on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio here till 5 a.m. on Wednesday. And we are going to be talking about, so we got some Star Wars spoilers for you. A ton of my listeners and my Facebook friends have apparently seen the movie over the past couple of months. And they we have acquired all the Star Wars spoilers for the new Star Wars movie. And we're going to read a bunch of the Star Wars spoilers for you. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. We'll talk Christmas stuff as well. But right now in the studio with me is singer-songwriter Simon Peebler, and he plays The Hideout later tonight. We're going to talk a little bit more and hear another song. And Simon and I were talking off the air. Again, this is a conversation we were having off the air. It's so great that you see, you were talking about how you were in Austin, and you were at a 24-hour film festival, and we were talking a little bit about the movie The Revenant, which you saw, and now Anomalisa, which is Charlie Kaufman's new movie, and you saw that. And it was so – we just had this conversation off the air, because it's one of those movies that it's a great film, another great movie. I mean, God, those were two – in my opinion, you saw two of the best movies of 2015 in that one night. But it was you know, having seen it, Simon, it's one of those movies that you can't have a complete and awesome conversation about it with someone who hasn't seen it yet. Because you give way too much away, and there's
something that you just mentioned to me that that I'm gonna have to like really kind of process. I'm gonna have to see the movie again, because there's, you know, it's Charlie Kaufman who, you know, if you think about the things that he's written and directed and produced and whatnot, you know, like being John Malkovich, like, as being one example that most people would recognize.
Adaptation, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
There's, you know, part of the magic of those films is, you know, an unreliable narrator. And there's some interesting, there's so many levels to this animated movie. And you told me, you just mentioned something that you know, whenever you do the review, you know, on the show,
we'll do it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. You have to tune in.
We have to skirt around it though, because I have a theory and interpretation. It's my own interpretation of it. And one of the great things about, you know, really good films or really good art is that it's open to any kind of interpretation. There's no wrong interpretation of it, and Charlie Kaufman certainly fits that mold. You know what I mean? Because he does stuff that you can interpret in many, many different ways. Yeah. And up until this movie came out, Adaptation was my favorite of all of his movies. That movie just really kind of blew my mind when I saw it. I mean, it really did. I remember watching it the first time I saw it. I was like, am I in this movie? What the hell is happening right now?
Well, and, you know, it's funny. I kind of felt the same thing about this Anomalisa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh my God, is this, you know.
And it adds to the fact that it's just this really surreal, beautiful animation too. Anyway, it's a great movie, and you got to see it. But we had, like, a really fun conversation where I kind of threw my theory. I think I kind of blew your mind a little bit.
Yeah, you did. I'm a little stunned. it's going to be hard to
– You got to see it. It's a good excuse to see it again.
Yep.
Good excuse to see it again. All right. Well, Simon Peebler is here. Now, I have, three questions that I always ask musicians when they come in here.
Okay.
And being, you know, like a big – music fan myself and everything, and I have, you know, been following music. I started playing guitar when I was a kid, and I stopped because I like banging on stuff, so I play drums.
Nice.
Actually, now I have four questions.
Okay.
It used to be just three, but now it's four. Since you're a musician, the newest question that I ask musicians that I started about a year ago was, have you seen Whiplash? Speaking of movies.
I have seen Whiplash.
And?
And I was... I was equally moved by that movie as almost to the level of the one we were just talking about.
Right.
I didn't have that kind of musical experience. But
you mean you didn't have a teacher throw a stool at your head?
No.
Nobody at Old Town Folk whipped a stool at your head?
No, and I also, you know, didn't play to the point of bleeding and
right.
putting my hands in ice buckets.
Right.
But yeah, I was, I loved the music in that film, and it introduced me to, kind of an area that I've, I haven't paid as much attention to jazz music as I should have. And so it really inspired in me, an opportunity to listen to some stuff that I really needed to hear.
Yeah.
I was very moved by that.
Yeah. I always ask musicians because you don't have to be a musician. I mean, my dad loved that movie. Let me give you a quick story here. My dad hates jazz. Hates jazz. Can't stand it. Yep. My dad can't sit still for more than 20 minutes. My dad has always got to be, I got to go, I got to do this, I got to do that. He's always moving around. Unless we're in a movie theater watching a movie, if he watches a movie like in the house, he'll like watch like 20 minutes and then go, I got to get up. I got to do this. I got to go out and get this. I got to do that. He did not, when we watched Whiplash, he did not move from his seat for the entire running time of that movie. He hates jazz and he thought it was one of the best movies he's ever seen. So, but I always ask musicians because I think a lot of musicians will personally have a different reaction to it because it's, you know, it's about music. It's about a musician. It's about learning the craft.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Who were you rooting for in the movie, and who was your dad rooting for in the movie?
Well, we were rooting for the kid. Okay. It was Miles Teller, yeah, no question about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, the reason why I think that movie works, even if you don't play music or anything, and the reason why I think it was so popular and that J.K. Simmons won the Academy Award, and deservedly so. To me, it's just about that relationship between teacher and student. It's about the relationship between, inspiration and learning.
Well, as much as we, sort of come to despise that teacher, there's no question that the greatness that came about would never have happened without that abuse.
Well, yeah, I didn't have an abusive teacher in high school, but I had a really hard teacher in high school. Her name is Ann Rundio, and she's still at the high school that I went to. I hated her when I went to school. I hated her. And then years later, I was like, best teacher I've ever had in my life. So, okay, so that's the other. And the other question is, now, do you have siblings?
I do have siblings, yes.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Oh, younger. Okay. So the question I always ask people, it involves another movie, is Almost Famous. Have you seen Almost Famous?
Yep.
Okay. So there is a moment in Almost Famous where the main character, the kid, his older sister, played by Zooey Deschanel, is leaving. She can't take it anymore because Frances McDormand, who plays the mother, is driving her nuts. Okay. And she's going to go out on her own. And before she leaves, she bestows upon the younger brother her albums. And there's this wonderful montage where he goes through the records and he listens for the first time to the Stones and Zeppelin and The Who and discovers all this music because of his older sister. Now, did you do that for your younger siblings? Did you turn them on to anything that may have shaped their musical taste?
I don't think so. And it's only because we were only a couple years apart.
Okay.
And we both, you know, when new music came into the house, we all sort of experienced it together for the first time.
Okay.
And, you know, the one that, you know, like one that in particular that comes to mind is an odd one, but I just happen to be very, you know, it's like a vivid memory for me is when we first got, you know, like the 30 million other households in America, when we first got our vinyl of Thriller.
Yeah.
and we sat down and listened to that whole thing. And, that, by the way, I still think that it's a good album.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
we were talking album. With an author of a book. Her name is Kit O'Toole, and she wrote a book called Michael Jackson FAQ, Everything That You Didn't Know About the Pop Star. It's a terrific book. I'm not a big Michael Jackson fan, but this book is great. I read the whole thing cover to cover. And we were talking about Michael Jackson, and she has a chapter in the book where it's like, okay, Thriller versus Off the Wall. Which is the better record? And then and the whole chapter is about that. I'm an off the wall guy myself.
Yeah.
But you know, there I don't know anybody who did not have Thriller. Everybody had Thriller. There's no question about it. Like if the FBI came into your house and you didn't have Thriller in the 80s, you got arrested.
Yeah.
If the FBI busted into your house in the 70s and you didn't have Frampton Comes Alive and Rumors, arrested. So I can understand, but that's a vivid memory listening to Thriller.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So the other questions that I have there, and they're first questions. What was the first album you ever bought? Like sort of like with your allowance, with your money, the first album that you wanted, you got, you bought first album.
First album I ever bought. Oh man, I would say it was Billy Idol.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. We had a lot of music, and I listened to a lot of radio, and I didn't have a lot of money, but I think Rebel Yell.
Rebel Yell, sure.
And I listened to that thing like 3,000 times at least.
Okay.
My musical taste and interest were much greater than just that.
I gotcha. No, but that's the thing. It's just, you know, because I ask musicians this, and then they get embarrassed, and I'm like, well, it's your first album, man.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be embarrassed about it.
You know, I would technically say that my hippie parents that I mentioned earlier, you know, I took the music they had and co-opted it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was a lot of, you know, Paul Simon albums and you know, just a lot of interesting things that, you know, you can find for 99
right.
cents
right.
now at the local record shop.
Right. Okay. First concert.
First concert?
Yeah.
AC/DC. I was like 4 years old. It was like the Indiana State Fairgrounds. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, it's so interesting when I have musicians in here that play a certain type of music. You know, like your first, you know, you play this really great and, you know, political, you know, acoustic singer-songwriter, protest stuff, mostly. Yeah. Your first album was a Billy Idol album and your first concert was AC/DC. That's why I ask this question of every musician, because the answer is always fantastic. Do you know what I mean? It's just like this. I would not have expected that. I would have thought, well, my first album was, you know, Highway 61 and you know, my first concert was Tom Petty. That's right. We're going to break here. When we come back, we'll hear a song from
awesome.
You, but I'll let you know real quickly. My first, I'm an only child, so I never had this is music that you should listen to stuff. Although my dad did sit me down one time and go, here, son, this is Cream. And he played White Room for me and my head went. my first album was Black Sabbath Paranoid. And my first concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. I always receive a blank stare from people when I say that. They had a song, one hit. And it was in the mid-70s, but it's in Dazed and Confused. It's in the movie Dazed and Confused. Oh. And it's Jim Dandy to the rescue, Jim Dandy to the rescue. Yeah. So that was my first concert, but the opening band was Bad Company. And it was before their first album came out, so nobody knew who they were.
Oh, sweet.
Very cool. All right, so Simon, hang on. You can see Simon tonight at the Hideout, and then at the end of the month, December 28th, for the 11th annual The Great Alex Chilton, and it's an Alex Chilton birthday bash. He's going to play that, too. And when we take a break, we come back. Simon is going to play a song, another song for us live right here on WGN.
Hey, friend, come down and play a while. Hey, friend, come down and stay a while. When they say go.
From Missing Anchor, that's Simon Peebler. Simon Peebler is live in studio with me here on a Wednesday morning. Nick DiGilio, 720 WGN. And Simon, tell me about this, about Missing Anchor. This is from a couple of years ago. And you're working on new material now on a new CD now. Tell me about Missing Anchor.
Yeah, Missing Anchor, it was recorded at a place called Handwritten Recording with a guy named Rick Riggs and an assortment of musicians and Chris Elam on guitar. And we had Shelley Miller doing backing vocals and I played piano and guitar, and it was all stuff that I had written in 2011 and 2012,
mm-hmm.
And it was recorded at the end of at the end of 2012. And when I first got into this, you know, my musical adventures, I had this crazy notion of doing an album a year, I started out the first 2 years doing it. You know, I had Follow the Riverbend was the first album, and then Missing Anchor. But it's taken a little bit longer to get the next one kind of pulled together. So you know, working on a new one that'll be, you know, be released next year, and working with some great collaborators, John Abbey at King Size Studios here in Chicago, with Gerald Dowd on drums and percussion, and you know, Dave Nelson on guitar and Scott Stevenson on keys. And so it's definitely just taking these big steps ups for every project I've been tackling.
Yeah, yeah.
But Missing Anchor has some tunes, you know, like the one that was just playing coming in to the out of the break. You know, that's like that song was inspired by Occupy. And, you know, I have a song about, you know, Trayvon Martin on the album, and I have song about Abraham Lincoln, and I have, you know.
I see here that you actually have a song about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
Who is one of my favorite actors of all time, who's in my favorite movie of all time. He's in Magnolia. And tell me about what was it? Was it after his death?
It was kind of, you know, he passed away on my birthday, like February 2nd.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I kind of associated him with being kind of our generation, the best actor of our generation.
In my opinion, he was.
Yeah. And so it really, I immediately just started writing about it.
Yeah.
And I wrote a song called Poets Highway. It's kind of, you know, take some liberties, but, man, that one hurt.
Yeah, no, I was like beside myself when he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
It hurt. It hurt bad. But yeah, it's interesting. Is that song on the?
No, it's, you know, it's not, that hasn't been recorded, but I could try to play it.
No. Play what you wanted to play when you prepared to play.
I have it on SoundCloud.
Okay.
And if you search for Poets Highway, you can.
Poets Highway.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can come up with it.
All right, cool. All right, well, Simon, play a song for us before we break for the news. This is Simon Peebler. He's going to be playing tonight at the Hideout. And what are we going to hear?
This one is called Nice Car. And Nick, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it was my pleasure, man. So this is Nice Car, Simon Peebler. And we have a link to all the information on our Facebook page. Go ahead, Simon.
Walking on the beach, just beyond the ocean's reach. The sun warms my cheeks. The hot white sand sticks to my feet. shift alarm stops short my daydreams. I quickly punch out and search for my keys. When I go home, when I go home, when I go home, at least I have a nice car. At least I have a nice car. Heading home during the 5 p.m. drive, just for a moment I'm in control of my life. The car heater is the sun. The radio is ocean waves. The leather bucket seat is a hammock under palm leaves. When I go home, when I go home, when I go home, at least I have a nice car.
Really nice, man. Really, really nice. Cool. Yeah, great stuff. That is Simon Peebler. He's playing at the Hideout later tonight. Wednesday, December 16th, $8 to get in. 21 and over show starts at 8 o'clock. And then check them out at the 11th annual Alex Chilton birthday bash at Empty Bottle on December 28th. Real pleasure having you in, man.
Cool. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up after this on WGN.